Thank you, Miss Vicky, for that lesson for our kids. It's been interesting to see how we're all trying to adapt in different ways. And one way we've been doing that is our teachers have been putting together these lessons for our kids through video. So thank you all for how you continually serve the Lord. I want to, this morning, to introduce somebody who's going to be our speaker today. Most of you have probably already had a chance to meet my mom and my dad. But my dad is going to be speaking for us today. Let me just say a couple quick things. My dad, I've had just the honor to watch this man as he and mom just raised me to love and honor Jesus. And I remember as a young boy when my dad was a pastor, and I remember watching him, the way that he loved and cared for the church and the way that he shepherded. I remember looking and watching that example and saying, I want to do that one day. I want to be like that one day. Just like my dad. And then as I got even older, and then dad went to be a missionary evangelist, and I saw the desire that he had for the lost and the desire that he had to see the nations come to know Jesus. I remember thinking, I want to be like that one day too. And so I've just been honored to have my dad as my mentor and be able to watch his life and try to model my life after that. Obviously, I want to be like Jesus, but as my dad follows Jesus, it makes me want to be more like him as well. And so I wanted to have my dad come on up, and Dad, would you bring the message for us this morning? Would you welcome my dad to preach?
Well, good morning. God bless you. Great to be here. Psalm 122 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, I have always loved that passage of Scripture, but never more than right now. After being separated from the family of God, and in recent weeks, I've preached in parking lots to people seated in their cars. A couple of weeks ago, I preached in an empty building where they had taped the faces of their church members on the back of the pews, and so I was preaching to cardboard faces. So I am so grateful and thankful that we can at least begin the process of meeting together again. We need the family of God. Could I get an amen in the house? And by the way, I'm a little bit old school. And when I preach, I feel like I always preach a little better if I get some kind of response from the people that I'm preaching to. That means every once in a while you could say amen. Every once in a while you might want to say hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. I've had people say, now, preacher, look, I'm with you, but I'm not going to say anything verbally. I'm just not given to that. I understand that. I've got something you can do. Just nod at me, all right? If you'll do that every once in a while, don't nod off. No, that doesn't count. But if you'll nod every once in a while, I will know that you are with me. Every year for the last 25 years, we have been taking a team to Uganda, Africa. Some of you have been a part of those teams. We actually were scheduled to leave today, and now with the nations of the world shut down and borders closed, we are unable to go, but the work is continuing there. And I just wanted to give you a very quick update because this church family is a part of what God is doing in Uganda through one of my sons, Jonathan. And you all have recently contributed to some of the physical needs that they have in Uganda right now, much of which is food, and especially in these remote African villages where they are separated from the opportunity to get the food that they need. And so my son Jonathan and his church, Jinja Town Church, using the funds that have been provided by churches like this one, have been buying food, taking it out into the villages. As to this moment, they have been able to feed 385 families. That's families. And that's food for a month. So you've been a part of that. But he talked to them on the phone the other day, and he told me this interesting story. You know, because they're in lockdown, the only vehicles that are allowed on the highway are emergency vehicles. And so they have loaded up this tricycle motorcycle with all of this food. They're going out into the village, 2 hours out into the village. He said, Dad, we went through 8 police checkpoints. But when they saw what they were doing, they did not stop us. They just waved us on so that we could go to the village and deliver the food. He said, but finally we came across a military checkpoint and they stopped us. He said, this gentleman walked up in full military garb and started demanding answers. Who are you? Where are the papers for this vehicle? Where are the papers for this food that you are delivering? And where are the papers to prove you have insurance? My son said, he slipped under the seat where he was seated and pulled out one of three Bibles that he had with him. He held it up to that military officer and said, and this is my insurance. The military officer looked at it, recognized that it was a Bible, and he said, is that for me? Jonathan said, well, if you want it, it is for you. He said, yes, I want the good news. He gave him the Bible, and the officer said, you go. And he immediately let him go right on and deliver the food. So I think no other place than Uganda would something like that happen. Well, you've been studying through the book of Psalms. So this morning, we're going to take a look at Psalm 19. So if you have your Bible with you, Psalm 19. And this is what the Word of God says. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's a good place for an amen right there. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, no language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hey, let's take a moment and pray together, shall we? Lord, thank you for these moments together as the people of God, that we can gather around the Word of God, that we can magnify the name of Jesus Christ, and that we can offer the great gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ to anyone and everyone who will respond to His call. Now, Lord, would you take a few brief moments together around this passage of Scripture and speak eternal truth into every heart. And Lord, for someone today who's never yet received you, been born into the family of God, experienced the great love of Jesus Christ, we would pray, Lord, that today would be the day that they throw open the door of their heart in life and receive the good news of the gospel, the good news of your love and forgiveness. Lord, may this church be a bright light in a dark world, faithfully calling people to Jesus Christ. And we'll give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake, and the people of God said, amen and amen. You know, over the last 25 years, we've been involved in international ministry. Having been in so many different countries and different cultures where they speak different languages, one of the things that I've learned is that even if you go into a country where you don't know the language, you don't know the background, you don't know the culture, if you try, just attempt to learn a few words in their language, they always appreciate it. Now, because we've been going to Uganda now for some 25 years, I have picked up at least some of the language of the people. Well, last summer, I was standing in line at one of those little community markets in Uganda to make a purchase, and there was a Ugandan man standing in front of me. He turned around, looked at me, and greeted me, and then he said this. In English now, he's talking to me. He said, "The way you're dressed, you must be a teacher." Well, I wanted to impress this Ugandan man by my knowledge of his language. And so I answered him in his language, "No, I'm not a teacher, I am a pastor." At least that's what I thought I said. When I made that statement, his eyes got real big. Again, he said to me in English, "You are a what?" I repeated in his language, "I am a pastor." He looked back at me and again in English said, "Do you know what you just told me?" Now, I'm speaking in English. I said, "Well, I just told you that I'm a pastor." He said, "No, no, you just told me that you are a thief." Rather than using the word pastor in his language, I was using the word thief. So the conversation went something like this. "Hi, you must be a teacher." I said, "No, I am a thief. Thank you very much." You know, communication is so very important. It's so vital if people are going to understand, especially the message that we are trying to preach and portray. You know, really, that's what Psalm 19 is about. Psalm 19 is about how God communicates with us in a way that we can understand about His love, His mercy, His grace, and His forgiveness. Three ways that are spoken of right there in Psalm 19. And we'll spend just a few moments examining that passage. First of all, how does God speak? Why, verse 1 tells us He speaks through creation. It is the heavens that declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth His handiwork. You see, creation is God's signature to tell the world that there is a God in heaven. All of creation shouts to us, there is a God in heaven. If you had never been to a service where you heard about the God of heaven, if you'd never read the Bible, if you'd never heard a Christian song or had a conversation with someone who knows and loves Jesus Christ, you would still know by creation itself that there is a creator. 1,000 times a day, creation preaches to us that there is a God in heaven. Every time the sun rises in the morning, the sun is preaching to us a message. There's a God in heaven. Every time that sun sets in the evening and paints the sky with all of those brilliant colors, the sunset is preaching to us, there's a God in heaven. The changing of the seasons, all of creation reminds us there is a God in heaven. Creation shouts to us His glory. Some years ago when I was a student in high school, I was a very poor student. I failed the 8th grade and had to repeat it. I failed the 9th grade and had to repeat it. Finally, somehow managed to get through the 10th grade and finally to graduation. Some people graduate summa cum laude. Some people graduate magna cum laude. I graduated thank you, Lord. I was glad. Can I get a witness in the house? I was just grateful to finally get through. Now, I tell you that to tell you this. Because I had repeated certain grades over and over, I remember once taking out my little pocket knife and carving on the desk in front of me, "Rick, thy was here." I wanted future generations to know that I had been in that classroom and sat at that very desk over and over and over again. Well, you see, that's what creation is. Creation is God inscribing His name to say to everyone everywhere, there's a God in heaven. How does God speak? Well, He speaks through creation. There was a famous atheist by the name of Bertrand Russell, who took great delight in attacking the Christian faith and denying the very existence of God. On one occasion, someone said to this famous atheist, "Suppose when you die, You find out there is a God and you stand before Him, what will you say? In his arrogance, Bertrand Russell said, I would tell God why you just didn't give me enough evidence to believe. Well, dear friend, the evidence is all around us. Amen. All around us, all creation. But that's not the only way that God speaks. Yes, he speaks through creation. He speaks through the sky. But in verse 7, he tells us that God also speaks another way. He speaks through the scriptures. He speaks through his word. You see, creation tells us about the glory of God, but the Bible tells us about the grace of God. How is it that I know that there's a God who loves me? Well, the Bible tells me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It is the Bible that tells me, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, and all things have become new. It is the Bible that tells me that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. It is the Word of God that tells me that He will one day wipe away every tear from our eyes. It's the Word of God that tells me that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except by Him. And it is the Word of the living God that tells me, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. That ought to make a Baptist say amen. You see, creation tells us about the glory of God, but Scripture tells us about the grace of God. His love, His plan, His purpose, His intentions for our lives, created in His image, made to know Him, love Him, and connect with Him, not just now, but through eternity. You see, the Bible is not just the book of the week or the book of the month or the book of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the book of the ages. Jesus said it this way. He said, one day heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, he said, will never pass away. What a treasure that God has given us in his word. He tells us in that passage of Scripture what the Word of God does. Sometimes it's the Word of God that convicts us of our sin so that we can confess and repent and turn to Him. Sometimes in moments of great sorrow, suffering, and pain, it's the Word of God that comforts us. I cannot tell you how many times I've had to stand with broken-hearted, grieving families who've been through some deep, dark period in their lives. Maybe they've buried a loved one, or they've gone through some absolute heartbreaking situation. And to be able to stand beside them and open up the Word of God, this book that brings comfort in times of sorrow and desperation. Why, it's this book that cheers us. It's this book that reminds us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it all comes right out of this book that we call the Bible. The Scriptures, God's written word to every one of us. After preaching on a number of occasions, I've had people come up to me and they've actually said, preacher, how'd you know? How'd I know what? How'd you know what I'm going through? How did you know? You've been reading my mail. You've been talking to some of my family members. How did you know? Well, the truth is, I didn't know. But God had taken his word and he had spoken to the deepest needs of their lives. That's happened to you before. Could I get an amen in the house? He's used his word to speak to some moment in your life where you just needed to have a word from heaven, and God used his word to speak. I was preaching in Pennsylvania some years ago, and at the end of the service, a young man came up to me and he said, hey preacher, I would love to give you my testimony. I want to tell you how I met the Lord. Well, I'm always excited to hear about how people have met the Lord and what Jesus Christ is doing in their life. I said, well, great, I'd love to hear your testimony. He said, well, here it is. He said, last year you were here in our church and you were preaching. I said, I remember that. He said, well, at that time, I was not attending church anywhere. I was lost, didn't know the Lord. He said, but I had a friend who had invited me to a service that day. He said, I really didn't want to go. I wasn't interested, but as a favor to my friend, I said, look, I'll go and I'll hear this guy. He said, you got up to preach. He said, I was so bored. Now, that'll bless your heart when people say that about you're preaching, I'm bored to tears. He said, but I thought I would have some fun, at least in the service, and pass the time by mimicking you and mocking you. He said, you'd make a statement, and then I would repeat the statement in jest, just making fun. You'd say something else, and I'd repeat the statement again, just making fun of you. He said, I finally looked at my friend, pointed at you, that man is a fool, idiot. Thank you very much. He said, but at the end of the service, when you invited people to come to Jesus Christ and turn from their sins and get right with God, he said, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't intend to do it. I certainly hadn't planned on doing it. He said, but I found myself walking down an aisle and kneeling at an altar and crying out to God for mercy. And I repented of my sins that day and I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. You say, what happened? One moment this guy's making fun of me and mocking the Word of God. And a few moments later, he's on his knees weeping his heart out saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What made the difference? The Word of God. It went like an arrow to his heart. Those certainly weren't my words that got through to his heart. But God had used his Word to speak to this man about his lost condition, about his need for Jesus Christ. And this Word of God found its target. And by the way, if you'll open up your heart to this message, it'll find its target in your life as well. Amen. So how does God speak? How does he communicate in a way we can hear and understand and believe? Why? He speaks through creation, the sky. He speaks through the Scriptures, the Word of God. But quickly, finally, there's one other way that God chooses to speak. Well, certainly there are many other ways, but in this passage we find a third way, and you find it in verse 14. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Did you catch it? How does he speak? Through the words of my mouth. That's a testimony. He speaks through the sky. He speaks through the Scripture. He speaks through the saint. He speaks through the child of God. You see, every one of us who know Jesus Christ have a testimony, a story, a witness to give about his goodness, his grace, his mercy poured out into our lives. Every child of God has a witness, a testimony. You know, I've had people tell me, well, you know, preacher, my testimony is just not that much. I mean, I never robbed a bank. I never rode with the Hell's Angels. I never shot anybody. I never spent time in prison. Well, when they tell me that, I want to say two things. First of all, thank God you didn't, all right? Amen. God, you didn't have to go there. But secondly, just because you didn't live that way doesn't mean you don't have a testimony to give, to offer, to share about what Jesus Christ means to you and what he's done in your life. I'm telling you, somebody needs to hear your story. It's unique. It's special. One of the greatest testimonies I ever heard. I was a college student, 20 years of age, desperately searching for some answers for my life, trying to figure out how could I even know a God who seemed to be so far away from me. One young college student came to me and he gave me his witness. Here it is. Don't miss it. He said, Rick, I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was a 7-year-old boy. Okay, what's so earth-shattering about that? It was the next statement. that God used to rock my world. He said, Rick, I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was a 7-year-old boy. And then he said this. He has so filled my heart. I've never had to look anywhere else. Boom! That was it. You see, I've been searching everywhere. I'd been trying this and dabbling in that and trying to experience something else, and it all left me empty. And I'm just trying to figure out, is there some way for this old wicked heart to be made right with God? Is there something that will ultimately and finally satisfy the deep longing of my heart? And he's telling me, at 7 years of age, I received Jesus Christ. He has so satisfied me. He has so filled me. He has so overwhelmed me with his love. I never had to search anywhere else. I don't know what your story is. Maybe your story is just like his. As a child, as a young person, I gave my life to Jesus. Maybe yours is different. Maybe your story is like Sarah's. I got to tell you her story quickly as we wrap things up. During the years that I was a pastor, a family started attending our church, and they said, Pastor, we want you to pray for our mom. Her name is Sarah. Sarah doesn't know the Lord. She's far from God. As a matter of fact, Sarah is a bartender at one of the local popular bars in the town of Roanoke. But we've been inviting her to come, and we've been praying for her. And so I joined them in praying. And, you know, lo and behold, Sarah showed up to church one Sunday. Never forget, she was as crusty as she could be. I mean, she was as rough as sandpaper. She walked up to me with folded arms and said, Preacher, I want you to know I'm not religious. And I don't know a thing about the Bible. But I'm here. God began to speak to Sarah. She came week after week, and it wasn't long before God broke her heart. Sarah put her faith in the Lord Jesus. God began to work a miracle in her. She'd been saved about a month. She called me one day, and she said, Brother Rick, I got a question. I said, Yes, ma'am. What is it? She said, You know, I don't know any Bible verses. There's a whole lot about this Christian life I don't understand. But I got to ask you this question. Would it be okay if I went back to the bar where I used to serve liquor? You see, after she got saved, she walked away from being a bartender. Well, would it be okay if I went back to the bar where I used to serve liquor and told my friends about Jesus? Would that be okay? I said, Sarah, go for it. Go get them. You know what happened? Sarah showed up the next Sunday. She had a friend by her side. She walked her forward and she said, Pastor, I want you to meet my friend Beverly. And then I'd say hello to Beverly. Nice to meet you. You've got a great friend in Sarah. Beverly would go and have a seat, and Sarah would lean over and say, Preacher, I used to serve liquor to Beverly. She's here today to hear the gospel. 2 or 3 weeks would go by. I'd give an invitation. Beverly, come down the aisle. She said, whatever Sarah's got, that's what I want. Whatever he did for her, I want him to do for me. And it happened. Week after week after week, you can go back and look at the church records. And you would read that for 6 months, if not longer, about every Sunday, somebody's coming down the aisle to say, whatever it is that God did in Sarah's life, I want him to do in mine. You see, you've got a witness, you've got a testimony, you've got a story to tell. And maybe it's just as simple as when I was 7 years of age, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And he means everything to me. Maybe it's a little more involved than that. But I'm telling you, somebody somewhere needs your story. Because the God of heaven wants to speak through you to them about his love. How does God speak? Well, he speaks through creation. He speaks through this book. But he also wants to speak through you. You know, I realize that there may be someone here today, maybe someone watching online, and the truth is, you don't have a testimony. Because there's never yet been a moment in your life when you turned from your sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ, and received him as your Savior and Lord. That's when your testimony begins, when you trust him, when you come to him, when you receive him. And if you've never done that, or maybe you've just got doubts, you know, I'm not sure that I really know God. Sure, I really have a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. You can settle that right now, once and for all, now and forever. You know, the Bible makes it so beautiful and yet so simple when the Scripture says, we'll be saved. That means you, that means me, that means anybody. That means everybody who will call on Jesus Christ, turn from sin, trust him, receive him, yield your heart and life to him, and that's when life begins. So what I want us to do is I want us to take a moment and just pray together. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, in this quiet moment of invitation, I want to invite you to invite him into your heart and into your life, trusting Jesus Christ if you've never done it before. Or you're just uncertain. You still got doubts, question marks, concerns, fears. And you can settle that right now. As a matter of fact, I'd like to lead you just in a simple prayer of confession. The Bible says if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we'd be saved. You can make that confession today. You may want to just simply say something like this in the quiet of this holy moment. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you to be my Savior, my Lord. I need you to forgive my sins. I need you to change my life. And I need you to make me what you always designed me to be. And in the quiet of this moment, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin and I receive your forgiveness and I receive your grace. Thank you for loving me and thank you for saving me today. And I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who is my master and my Lord. Amen and amen. Look right here. In a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. Our praise team is going to lead us in worship. Maybe someone watching online, someone right here in this service, you say, you know, preacher, that prayer has become the prayer of my heart. And today, by faith, I receive Jesus Christ. You know what the next step is? To openly and publicly declare your faith in him. You can do that by making your way down one of these aisles. There's another way you can do it by watching online. The important thing is that you somehow, some way acknowledge today that you become a part of God's forever family. Pastor's coming to receive us as we come. While we're standing to our feet, Spirit of God has spoken. Let's obey his voice together. Come on right now while we sing together.